believe that finally gets us through the habitat section of our very lengthy agenda here on the public comments. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on a matter not before the commission on their agenda? Come forward, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, John Brown.
Welcome, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing this opportunity for me to address council. To begin, I want to make clear that I'm speaking about speckled trout, okay? And I want to make clear that the research analysis, conclusions, and recommendations in this presentation are my own. I am here today to voice my concerns regarding what I see as a radically reduced speckled trout stock in Virginia coastal waters since the coal stun and fish kill this past February. First, just some quick background on myself and my recreational fishing experience. I grew up in and around the Lynn Haven River and have had a passion for speckled trout fishing since childhood. I retired in 2006 and have had the great opportunity to pursue this passion ever since. My experience in local area waters primarily includes the Lynn Haven River system and the Elizabeth River. Though I enjoyed fishing the Lynn Haven, I was fortunate to have participated in the often referred to world-class fishery that occurred in the Elizabeth River. I have been fishing the ER almost exclusively year-round since 2011, and yes, there was a decent speckled trout bite in the ER even in the summertime. I target speckled trout casting artificial lures only and practice catch and release. In 2014, my boat had 98 speckled trout that met the Virginia Saltwater Fishing Tournament minimum length for release citation. In 2013, I had 102. I say this not to brag or pat myself on the back, as I know that there are other anglers that match or exceed these numbers, but mention it to add credibility to my experience as a speckled trout angler. I fish specks every fishable day for several years. Why am I concerned about Virginia speckled trout stocks? Number one, my own experience on trips from this past March to date that has resulted in not a single speckled trout caught or seen. Number two, the same dire reports from other accomplished speckled trout anglers from Rudy Inlet to the Northern Neck and Eastern Shore. Number three, the paucity of tagged trout since February. And number four, the fact that not a single speckled trout citation has been reported anywhere in Virginia coastal waters since February. First, concerning my own trips targeting speckled trout. Let's see, how do I advance?
Up or down.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. This slide is a summary from my personal fishing log from 01 March 2014 to 30 July 2014 last year. It shows the number of trips, the average number of anglers on board, the average time spent fishing, and the number of trout caught, as well as the total number of citation fish during the period. Alongside is my 2015 trip summary. And yes, my level of fishing effort is way down this year compared to last year, but I think the catch data, 374 speckled trout last year compared to zero this year, speaks to why I've been less than inclined to go as often. Still, I will target specks every week or two, hoping that some fish have migrated into and repopulated the areas that I have produced for me many times in the past. It's a grim comparison. Number two, my contacts of accomplished anglers who include inshore charter captains, avid, and I mean avid tagging program participants, a former VIMS expert, and even a former VMRC law enforcement officer, all report the same dire results from different locations in Virginia. None or very few speckled trout. Generally, if any are caught, it's one or two. I've heard of as many as four or five in one trip. The paucity of speckled trout since tagged since February. In correspondence with the VIMS Marine Recreation Specialist, Susanna Musick, she reports, and I quote, preliminary speckled trout tagging data from the Virginia Game Fish Tagging Program show that speckled trout tagging numbers in 2015 are much lower by several hundred than previous years, unquote. And I will refer you to her for the specific number of specs tagged since February. My next slide is also very telling. I think the most telling, There we go. It is data I took directly from the Virginia Saltwater Fishing Tournament citation list. The slide's a bit busy with numbers, but it simply shows how speckled trout citations this year compared to speckled trout citations reported in previous years during the same period, 1 January through 22 July, so 2015 back to 2008. Because I know that the ER citations tend to skew the data, I broke out the non-ER citations, counting them separately. Then there is a totals column. So as you can see, in 2015, there have been just 53 citations to date. All but three came from the Elizabeth River, and those three came from Rudy Inlet before the cold stunned. And as highlighted by the asterisks, zero citations since 20 February and zero from any location outside the Elizabeth River and Rudy Inlet. In conclusion, I think speckled trout stocks in Virginia are in crisis following the past two winters. And yes, I know that they are prolific breeders, and they are fast growing. And I think they will eventually rebound to some degree, assuming a few mild winters. I seriously doubt it will ever be what it once was. In the near term, what bothers me most is the apparent loss of the large brood stock of speckles, the loss of the citation-sized fish, mostly female, and without question, the mega egg layers. Small speckles do mature quickly, but a 16-inch fish is simply not going to procreate and replenish stocks as quickly as a 25-plus-inch fish. And if we continue to harvest the 16-inchers, the recovery will be slower still. Therefore, I think it's going to take some quick action to further curtail speckled trout harvest to allow stocks to recover. My final slide is my recommended actions. I think we should immediately make all recreational fishing for speckled trout catch and release only, close the commercial harvest, and then monitor the state tagging program reports to determine if any fish are being caught, and especially their size, to determine in advance what regulations may need to be placed in effect in 2016 to encourage the recovery of the broodstock. Unless there are any questions, this concludes my remarks.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Brown. Interesting presentation.
Thank you.
I understand this matter has been discussed at the FinFish Management Advisory Committee for a number of months now. Are you participating in those discussions?
I am.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Smith, come up forward.
Ken Smith, President of Virginia Waterman. I was really kind of upset when I got here today that I found that the habitat hadn't finished and was going to have to sit back. But after hearing about the living shoreline, I tell you, I'm really glad I was here for that. And I'm really like what VMRC's done and what y'all just voted for. I guess everybody knows that part of statute talks about a crab management plan, and in that crab management plan, it addresses water quality. It has to be turned into the governor, and I would think that this living shoreline helps address that water quality plan. So I was really glad to hear about that. Thank you for your work on that. What I'm here for today is that in September, we're going to be discussing the crab dredge issue again. And I'm hoping Mr. France can take off with Mr. Close left off with you all in educating you about it. And I'm glad to see you back, Mr. Tankert, because you saw the presentation in 213 where found out that crab dredging was actually a clean fishery, mm-hmm. and there was incidental mortality to it. And staff really recommended that crab dredging be opened back up, but it was the watermen that asked for it not to be. And watermen don't have the science behind them or the means to have that science all the time, but they're on that water every day, and they make some pretty good educated guesses or whatever about what's there. And the reason the watermen did not want to see the dredging open up, particularly the dredgers, was because they figured it was going to be a bad year, and that if a bad year came back with low numbers, it would be sent to the would be blamed on the dredging. I think things are picking up. There are a lot of small crabs right now, but it's going to be readdressed in September. In 208, when crab dredging was stopped and other regulations were put in place, all of them were done with no science. And I'm saying this because I'm getting back to how watermen see things without the science because they've been doing it so long. One of the things that was put in was a 2 3/8 coal ring. This is a regular size crab pot wire, and this is a 2 3/8 coal ring. And watermen knew that 5-inch crabs, not all 5-inch crabs, but a large amount of 5-inch crabs go through this coal ring, and regulation says that a 5-inch crab is legal. That's just one of the things that watermen spoke about. And watermen have been speaking for years about how we're protecting the spawning female crab. I think that was one of the things that people thought about when they thought about this dredging, and it's also been determined that crab that was caught in the wintertime is caught in the spring. So you haven't stopped catching the crab, you're just catching it at a different time, whereas in the wintertime, it would have a much larger economic value. And we've heard about stuff about sanctuaries and whatnot. And we've closed off parts of the bay because we're protecting this the spawning stock. Well, what we've done, we're going ahead and we're protecting the spawning female stock, but watermen feel as though we're not protecting the nursery areas for where these crabs go. Now, they fish this same crab pot up in the nurseries, but they also fish a crab pot, a peeler pot this size. And I don't want anybody to get me wrong, because I don't want anybody to come attack me and say, Ken Smith's up here saying it's shutting down peeler pot, because I'm not. But this is the size wire that's being fished for peeler pots right here. There's no coal ring in it. No coal ring in it. I would consider this a small crab. Can't get through that wire. That's being caught every day. A crab this size would get through there, just barely squeeze through there. Hadn't got any legs or claws on it. I mean, that's just the body. Like I say, I'm not attacking peeler potting, but I'm looking at the way we are managing our resources. And I don't think that by putting all this pressure or continually going after the spawning stock and saying this is what we've got to protect has brought the crabs back to us. And I think there are other things. Now, we don't have the science for this. I mean, but watermen have been telling you this for a long time. We're not protecting our nursery areas. Mr. France was with myself and somebody else. We've gone to VIMS and we've requested a study on different things with this. So I hope that when this issue comes forth in September, that the science says that the crab dredging fishery should be open. VMRC recommended it before. Our staff recommended it. BIMS recommended it. And I hope you gentlemen keep that in mind and go with what the code says, the best available science, because we do have science that says it is a clean fishery with incidental mortality, and I don't think that's been reported on any of the other crab fisheries. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Does anybody else in the audience wish to be heard under the public comment section on a matter that's not on the commissioner's agenda? Seeing none, the public comment period is closed.